Welcome to Portraits on Arizona Shine.
Each week on Portraits, Roger and Sally Barton capture the heart of our community with conversations that will encourage you and empower you to make a positive difference.
You know, Rog, I remember our early days of marriage. They were long, long ago. And starting out in our little one-bedroom studio. Well, even saying it was a one-bedroom, it really was a studio. And pinching our pennies and somehow making it work.
It was really more like a one living room with a divider that kind of served as the bedroom.
It so was. Yeah. I remember that your parents showed up that very first time, and your mom had tears in her eyes, and she couldn't imagine that her little boy was living there. But we were blissfully happy, and I think we came up in an age where expectations were very, very different. We thought nothing of that, and we had a very small income, and I was pretty quickly a stay-at-home mom, and I don't know. We made it work, but it was work. And so today we're going to talk to you because if you've got too much month at the end of your money, you're not alone. Is your credit card screaming for relief? Are you tired of robbing Peter to pay Paul? Who are those people anyway?
Is that little magnetic strip on that credit card just smoking?
Oh, we've got help for you today. We're going to laugh a lot and we're going to give God the glory for our budget, for the money that he's provided us, and some great ideas for how to make it go a little further.
I'm really excited about this program, Sally, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
These are some folks that we had a chance to know way back.
Long ago and far away.
In the early 1980s.
Yeah.
And so we're excited to have them here with us today.
We're talking about Steve and Annette Economides. They're called cheapskates, thriftaholics, tightwads, but in these tough economic times, those are high compliments for America's cheapest family. Welcome to the Portrait Studio.
Sally and Roger, it's great to be here.
It's awesome to be up in Prescott.
Well, hey, we're so glad to have you. And yeah, America's cheapest family gets you right on the money. Tell us right off the bat about that name, because I think if somebody called me the cheapest family, I'd kind of look at them crosswise.
Okay, well, we didn't give ourselves that name. That name came through Good Morning America. We started a newsletter called The Home Economizer back in 2003. And in 2004, we ended up on the set of Good Morning America. And Charlie Gibson interviewed our family. Four out of our five kids were with us. And he dubbed us America's Cheapest Family. And at the time, I was like, ugh, I don't know if I like this. But you know what? The media loved it.
Sure.
And we decided it was going to give us a platform to share about frugal living in a really positive way. And if that was the result, we wore that name with pride.
In the last 10 years, God has opened the door for us to do more than 29 national and international interviews and reach probably about 10 to 20 million people with a message of his principles for managing money in a fun, family-centered way. And that's really our message, is that you can have family fun and frugality, and you can enjoy life living on what God provides.
You know, I think there's no greater joy, Roger, than to have your bills paid and to not be owing people. And we've been in that situation, being completely honest. We absolutely have the credit cards. We have a mortgage. We've had car payments in the past. And as we've paid those things off, there is this feeling of lightness, this feeling of joy that has come over us and this little celebration we have.
It's a big, big sense of relief. No question about that.
Yeah. So the antithesis is, when you've got a lot of debt, it can feel like an anchor and affect your family life, your relationships, your outlook on life as well.
Well, what if there was a way that you could live life without any of those payments?
Yes.
With maybe the exception of a mortgage for a short period of time. And see, that's kind of where we came from, because we learned early on in our Sunday school class at the church where we met, before we were married, there's a guy who was telling us that, you know, God wants to provide for your needs, and that there's never anything positive in Scripture about borrowing money. So I'm looking at that going, can we live that way and honestly survive and thrive? And so we made a commitment that we wouldn't borrow, with the exception of a house. And on a modest income, I mean, we never earned tons of money, but our average income over 30 years is about $45,000. We were able to pay off our first home in 9 years. We paid cash for our cars. We've taken vacations with our kids. Our kids have gone to college without borrowing a dime.
Oh, praise
God. They've graduated. Mm. And it's not because we're so smart, but it's because we've just fully relied on God to provide, and He has done a fantastic job. But like I said, there's never once in Scripture does God say anything positive about borrowing money. It's not a sin to borrow, but He never says, it's my will that you get a loan from XYZ Bank. I've never seen it.
But I know what we're going to be able to do today is throw out tons and tons of practical ideas for how anybody at all, whether you're in a good place or in a bad place, can stretch your pennies even further.
You know, I have to bring Kelly in on this conversation. Kelly, we know and hear you every single day here on our Arizona Shine and appreciate you so very much. And we brought you in here because you're familiar with Steve and Annette and their teaching on, you know, stretching that buck.
Absolutely. In fact, I just have a way of just looking at life now. How can I do things better? Like, I saw that you had your tea bag and you had us just get some hot water. Yeah, this is my homemade tea, too. Just taking care of what God gave you, because I've noticed that the more I save, too, the freer I am to give and use those funds to bless others.
How does that make you feel?
Oh, my heart just grows. Like, how do you describe having the opportunity to bless someone, you know, like you've been blessed? People helped me back when I was a single mom, and now I can do that. So it's like this reciprocity that I had no idea that I'd ever get to do. And
wow.
God's given me that chance. And, yeah, the economies were definitely a part of it.
Oh, that's so exciting. You know, we're going to invite you, our listeners, in on the conversation to share your best idea for stretching a buck. So, Kelly, I know you said you make your own tea and you don't bother buying. I've also seen that you make your own beans at home.
Yeah.
And bring that in. You've been sharing the joy. Share a tip with us that's helped you stretch a buck.
Oh, well, I don't have a freezer, but I'm waiting for that. But even with what you have, you can do. But laundry detergent. I have not purchased laundry detergent in over 5 years.
No.
I just make it. And that's just 2 batches.
Wow.
So, yeah. Simply, yeah, that saves a lot of money. And it's something that you can do within an hour of your day.
Hey, can you share that idea for making your own laundry soap? Because we'll put it up on our portraits tab on arizonashine.org. And Kelly's tip for how to make your own laundry soap. And that sounds exciting, you know. Also a little scary for people like me who don't specialize in saving money. So I may be challenged by the end of this program. You know, the economies have made an entire lifestyle out of saving money and enjoying the benefits of doing that. And so when we come back, there are just a few things that we're going to touch on that I know will make a difference in your family. You want to save money on your groceries and make a difference? Bag by bag. Yeah, we're going to help you do that. Budgeting. Oh, that big B word. That's so scary. We're going to help you through that. You know, buying a car, Roger. Is there any bigger nightmare than buying a car?
Any bigger nightmare? There probably is a bigger nightmare, but sometimes that can be one. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Just let me go talk to my manager about that. And they come back, and you don't know what happens behind those closed doors. Anyway, we're going to get a couple of ideas about that. Housing and utilities, how to get out of debt. Because the reality is most of us listening do have some debt. We have a couple of their books available, America's Cheapest Family. If you want to join in the conversation up on Facebook, visit arizonashine.org. Click on the portraits tab there, and we'll show you how to get more involved with the economies. And click on the Facebook link and join in the conversation. Your best current favorite tip for stretching a buck. This is Portraits, Snapshots of Life, Hope, and Faith. We're Roger and Sally Barton, and yeah, we're going to save a dollar when we return.
Real people with real stories, right here in Arizona. Thanks for listening to Portraits on Arizona Shine.
Yeah, we're Roger and Sally Barton. You know, Roger, it's a beautiful Saturday morning, and oftentimes in our early years, Saturday morning involved coupon clipping and going back over the Wednesday ads and planning for the next week. And I had this intricate system of keeping my coupons. Oh, they were gold to me when we had to feed our entire family because we did it on very little. I was a stay-at-home mom for 12 years, mm-hmm. raising our family, which meant we had to be very, very careful with our budgeting.
Oh, I remember you had the coupons. You also had your menu planned out, though.
Uh-huh.
You had a plan there, and we knew pretty much every day what we were going to be having for dinner and for breakfast. And
it was my job. It was my job to make it all fit.
And you did really well.
Oh, well, thank you so much. So this is a program that we feel very, very passionate about. What is this program about? Well, it's about America's cheapest family. Gets you right on the money. Yeah, we're talking to our friends from long ago, Steve and Annette Economides, who have really made an entire lifestyle out of making their money go as far as possible and beyond. And Annette, it just seems natural that we would kind of take us to the grocery store as one of our first stops at looking at how we can make the most out of what God is providing for us.
Yes, it's excellent to do that because really groceries are the fastest way to free up money in a household budget. If I could show you how to cut your grocery bill in half today, you would have somewhere between $400 and $500 perhaps a month to be able to pay off some of that debt that you're trying to get rid of. Right. And so we're going to talk about different things that you can do before you go to the store, while you're in the store, and when you get home. You're going to start saving right away today.
Well, let me frame it for you just a little bit. The average family is spending about $200 per person per month on groceries.
Uh-huh.
So if you have a family of four, that's $800 a month, $9,600 a year. That is a lot of money.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Anytime you're spending a lot of money, there are always ways to save. And like you said, Roger, you know, Sally spent time clipping coupons and planning a menu, and those are strategies that will save a boodle. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to give you some things in the planning stage first, because that's where the savings really start.
Okay, but the other thing I want to say, too, is today a lot of women do not have time to
right.
do that coupon thing. And so, you know, our second book, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half with America's Cheapest Family, coupons is just one chapter in that book. I have hundreds of ideas for how to slash your grocery bill without ever touching a coupon. So if you're ready, I think we should just start right in with the planning.
Jump in there.
Launch it.
Okay. So there's several things you can do before you ever set foot in the store. The first thing is to inventory what's in the house.
Ah.
Okay. Look, reorganize your freezer, reorganize your pantry closets. How many times are you standing in a grocery store saying, oh, do I need that? I can't remember. And you pick it up and you take it home and you have two of them already at home.
So, right.
We all are. And so it's important before you start, because some people are pleasantly surprised at how much stuff they already have at home and how many meals they can make off of what they already have right there and just have to supplement with a few things that they pick up at the store.
You know, Roger, you and I sometimes make a game out of having a freezer night. And we just say, hey, we're going to go and shop the freezer, see what we can find, and it's always kind of a great adventure. Sometimes we end up with a bit of a hodgepodge, but you are exactly right, Annette. We are stunned and amazed at what is hiding in the nooks and crannies of our freezer.
Absolutely, and Roger alluded to this before. The other thing that is so helpful and will save immediately is to sit down for 15 minutes once a week and just plan out your dinner menus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Most people, that's where they struggle the most, and if they would just do that for 5 or 7 days, you know, our book talks about simple things that you can put together, from barbecue chicken in the crock pot to, spaghetti and meatballs, or a taco night, or even a chef salad, mac and cheese, simple things. And, of course, I'm talking about, you know, a rounded meal with vegetables and starch, and I talk about all that in the book, how to eat in a healthy way. You know, very often we're asked, are we living on ramen noodle soup? And I have to say, absolutely not.
Funny story.
Okay.
I kept bringing home ideas to Annette, because I'd listened to talk radio, actually mostly focus on the family and different Christian stations. And so one day I came home and I said, you know, have you ever thought about homeschooling, you know, because I heard Dorothy and Raymond Moore. And then another time I heard a story about doing foster care, and we ended up doing that. And another time I heard a story about once a month cooking.
Uh-huh.
And it was a book that was out there, and I brought it home to Annette, and she said, well, my mom doesn't plan a menu, and my friends don't plan menus, and I'm not going to do this. A few months later, she tried it, and this comes out of her desire to be excellent at what she does. She made staying home her full-time job, and she did a phenomenal job of it. But she started planning a menu, and now she'll tell you that planning a menu is one of the biggest time savers and stress relievers that there are. And we've got people who write into our website, and they tell us that they've cut their grocery bill in half just by, number one, limiting their trips to the store, and number two, planning.
Yeah.
They don't have to clip coupons to do it.
And we've got a link up to their website on arizonashine.org under that portraits tab.
Dad, I was actually pretty happy to hear you say that you can save quite a bit of money without going the coupon route. One of my memories, vivid memories, is when my grandmother broke her hip and moved in with our family. I was in high school, and she eventually moved out, got her own place, and, you know, they helped her get set up in a little condo there. And she clipped coupons, but she had my dad driving her to, like, five different grocery stores. I just remember that. He would come home, and he was just whipped, you know. He'd say, well, I got grandma's groceries again, and we went to five different grocery stores again.
Yeah. Thank heavens you don't have to do that anymore. When the kids were little and we did our once-a-month grocery shopping trips, we would do two stores on a Friday night, and then on Saturday morning I would start the once-a-month cooking with the rest of the kids, and Steve would run out to one more store. So the maximum we ever did was three, but that was once a month.
Right. Yeah. That's once a month, not every week or every 2 weeks.
But we want to encourage people who are listening that – in all of our books, we always give you steps, because nobody's going to start off by trying to do it once a month. That is monumental. You don't want to do that. What our goal is with people who are starting out is to say, if you're going to the store two and three times a week, which is the average, let's shoot for one by just planning a little better. Now, another step that Annette uses in the planning stage before we ever set foot in the store is we used to plan our menus based on what's on sale in the grocery store, on the loss leaders in the ads. Uh-huh. That saves you 30 to 50% on your meals if you do that. Eventually, the goal is to shop or plan out of your freezer, out of what you have in stock. So as you start stocking up on food that's on sale, instead of buying, you know, four chicken breasts for one meal, if they're on sale, you buy 10 or 15. And we have a store in Arizona, Smart and Final, and every once in a while they drop some prices on things. And we picked up, I think, 60 pounds of chicken legs for 39 cents a pound.
Wow.
When the price is down, you buy. It's kind of like Warren Buffett. And that way you slash your grocery bill way down.
That is wisdom.
But that's the planning stage.
You know, do you find that you're met with some opposition when this idea is first launched to people? I think we've become very used to, very comfortable with the two-person working family and just getting what we want, when we want it, and this sounds like a lot of work.
Well, we're not saying to give up that two-person working family, and you're right. Convenience is a big thing in America today, but what we're saying is time is money, too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to the grocery store two and three times a week, and we can tell you how to save time and money, why would you not choose that?
Yeah.
So, because time is something we all need to recapture. And I'm working pretty much full time with our business at this point, so time is money.
Yeah, I can imagine. We're talking with Steve and Annette Economides. Yeah, they have some ideas for how we can make our money work. You know, it seems so often, Roger, that we get to the end of the month and the money is gone and the stress starts. And we look at each other and relationships start to crack under that kind of pressure. And so when we return, we're going to take a little look at that B word that's so scary, budgeting, because it's so important. And what seems scary right now can actually be a lane to great freedom and joy. We're talking with America's cheapest family. We have a link up on arizonashine.org under the portraits tab to how you can become involved in their tips that they offer, their website, get a hold of their books, and the conversation is up on our Facebook page. You can link there from Arizona Shine as well. Join in the conversation and share your current favorite stretching a buck tip. And we have a couple of these books to give away. You know, Raj, it's a great day to talk about saving a buck on Portraits, Snapshots of Life, Hope, and Faith.
Snapshots of Life in Arizona. Thanks for listening to Portraits on Arizona Shine.
Yeah, and here's what Paul Harvey says about our guest that in studio, America's Cheapest Family. He says, of all the how-to books ever written, the best and most constructively useful are the Bible and this one. The time is right, right now, for someone to give us all a top sergeant lesson in practical economics. There is no free lunch. Congratulations, Annette and Steve Economides. I pray your readers will practice what you teach. And Raj, I think that we will. I think we're going to come away from this program and this Saturday morning, 1 hour together, a little bit differently.
Guys, as we talk this morning, I can't help but be excited. And first of all, I can hear the passion. Mm-hmm. And I know our listeners can hear the passion of what God has placed on your heart and the way that you have structured your family and your lifestyle. Number one, it honors Him. But number two, it has freed you up to not only have the lifestyle that you desire, but to also be able, as Kelly said earlier, to be able to bless others. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just incredible. Yeah. And what a wonderful, wonderful testimony. Let's talk about that B word, as Sally called it,
budgeting.
That is something that a lot of people, it strikes fear and mm-hmm. terror into the hearts and minds of most of us when we think about the daunting task of sitting down to a budget and then sticking to it. Give us your thoughts.
Well, we look at budgeting as, what would you call it? The most freeing tool ever created. Now, if I think of it that way, as opposed to, oh, this is going to tie my hands, I'm not going to get to do the things I want, I'm not going to have the money to spend that I want, that's when you get the cold sweats and the resistance. But when we look at it, we go, this is a thing that's unified us for 32 years. We started off our marriage in our marriage prep class. Before we were married, we heard about Larry Burkett's principles for managing money, and one of them was a written budget. And it doesn't mean that we sat down at the beginning of the year and said, okay, this is how much we're going to spend on food, this is how much we're going to spend on the car, on housing, all stuff. It was every 2 weeks we committed to meeting, having a staff meeting over our money. 48 hours a year, that's all it takes. And doing that, managing our system in writing together, allowed us to pay off our first home in 9 years on an average income of $33,000. Roger, you put insulation in that house.
I remember.
You did. And that saved us a ton of money on our utilities, which is one of the areas we talk about in the book. It helped us pay cash for cars. There was a time I was working for a company, and they gave me a company car to drive, and the company ran into financial difficulties, and we had lost that car. And we needed to instantly get a car. And the decision we had to make was, are we going to borrow money or are we going to wait? And because we had our budgeting system, we were able to save money over the next few months and buy that car for cash. It was a decision, a choice, but we had a tool to help us segregate our money and manage it. So whenever bumps in the road come along, a budget helps you do that. So how do you set up a budget? I mean, that's really the biggest question. And in the book, America's Cheapest Family Gets You Right on the Money, we have a page, it's called our Income Outgo Sheet. And that's basically the first step, is figuring out what you're spending on every area. Now, most people think in budgeting that if I cover food, housing, car, and clothes, I've got my budget set. That covers about 60% of your expenses. But you've got to cover insurance, health care, recreational activities, which sink a lot of people. What about pets? What about kids' activities? What about your cell phone? What about magazine subscriptions? I mean, all those things. We ask those questions. What, Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
If you spend $1,200 a year on Christmas and you're paying for it for 4 or 5 months, what if instead you saved $100 a month, every month, in cash or in an envelope somewhere, and you were able to spend that money throughout the year? Wouldn't that give you freedom?
Yeah.
It sure would.
And that's what we're talking about. And we've taken it so far. We set aside $40 a paycheck for our gift budget. And that's $80 a month, $960 a year. And Annette shops all year long. I already bought her some Christmas presents.
You want to tell us anything?
Always, I can't tell you right now, but she'll be surprised. But it gives you the freedom because we're setting aside that money every paycheck to go ahead and spend, knowing what you have. There was a couple we were coaching, and we got their budget balance. They were in debt. They had 5 kids, low income, and we finally got them to where their budget was balanced out, and they had $10 left for recreation for a two-week period. And we looked at the wife, and we said, can you make it for 2 weeks on that? She said, if I know I have everything else covered, that we've got enough money for the house payment, to put gas in the car, to buy food for the kids and everything, I am going to enjoy that $10 more than anything else. Wow. It gave her the freedom to spend within a limit. And isn't that the way God is?
Yes.
One of our favorite verses dealing with budgeting is Proverbs 30, verses 7, 8, and 9 says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with the food that's my portion. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the problems we have in America is we think that our portion is what we see on TV. And we keep watching.
Our portion is much larger than what it needs to be. Really.
Or what our parents had.
Yeah.
And we have to realize, Sally alluded to that at the very at the start of this whole interview, that it's okay to start with nothing. It really is. It's hard for our parents to watch us,
uh-huh.
and we're watching our daughter do that. But it's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Steve, you know, there's a lot of folks in America today that are living in what many would call the paycheck to paycheck cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is budgeting a good way to break out of that cycle? And is there some encouragement there for our listeners this morning?
It is probably the best way and only way. Basically, what we're talking about is coming up with a way to manage your income, no matter how small. And if we're faithful in managing a little, God promises that he will make us stewards over more. That doesn't mean we're going to be super wealthy,
right.
But he won't give us more until we're faithful in the little we have. So I think it is the best way, and I'll give you two quick tips on it. Number one, read our book, and you can do it on paper. Actually, there's three. Do it on paper. Number two, do it in cash, in envelopes. Food, clothing, and recreation are the three areas most commonly overspent, so every paycheck, take out a predetermined amount in those categories, put it in an envelope, you'll see it, you won't overspend. The third way is to use envelopes.com, M-V-E-L-O-P-E-S.com. It's a free online budgeting system that allows you to accumulate money in little envelopes on the computer in advance of your spending. So instead of paying your auto insurance every month, maybe you pay it once every 6 months because you've accumulated that money and you save 3 to 5%.
Nice.
You can save money when you have cash. Cash is king. Debt is dumb. I think Dave Ramsey says that all the time. And we believe it. And you know, it didn't come from being in debt. It came from being able to live on less and do a whole lot more.
Yeah. Amen. You know, I think there's something about watching those dollar bills, $5 bills, $10 bills disappear physically out of your hand that causes you to have a little more caution than to whip out the plastic and say, I'll think about it later. We're talking with America's Cheapest Family. Yeah, because their book says it gets you right on the money. And I know you want to get your own hands on this book and really see the future looking very, very different. And you can learn more at arizonashine.org. Click on that portraits tab. And yeah, while you're there, click on the Facebook tab. We have two of these books to give away and share your current favorite stretching buck tip. We'd love to have you join in the conversation and we'll probably learn something from you. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about that nasty word debt. Oh, Roger, you know, we end up in debt because we wanted. Or sometimes we end up in debt because something catastrophic has happened, a job loss.
Right.
But whatever has caused us to be there, we're there, and it doesn't feel good. So we're going to help you get out of debt with a few simple ideas on the other side of this break, because this is Portraits, Snapshots of Life, Hope, and Faith. I'm Sally Barton.
And I'm Roger.
And we enjoy spending this time with you.
Uplifting conversations to encourage your walk with Christ. Thanks for listening to Portraits on Arizona Shine.
Yeah, I'm Sally Barton.
And I'm Roger Barton.
Yeah, it's such a joy to spend Saturday morning with you and just introduce you to ordinary people who are doing extraordinary things right here in our community. And today we're visiting with Steve and Annette Economides. They're known as America's Cheapest Family. No, no, that's a compliment. That's a good thing.
And who would have known, Sally?
Yeah.
Back in 1982, when we first met,
yeah.
Steve and Annette, that someday we'd have them on a radio program and they'd be New York Times best-selling authors.
Congratulations.
That's the way God works, isn't it?
It is.
Not only for the awards and the recognition, but the lives that are changed through the joy that you're sharing this morning. You know, we laugh all the time, but we have laughed so much this morning and had so much joy over a subject that can cause so much pain in a family. And so just talking about getting out of debt, how to spend our money more wisely with our groceries. And yeah, even looking at cutting car costs in this book are covered, but budgeting. Well, we actually had a good time talking about budgeting. But then there's this word called debt. And we all end up there, it seems. Very few of us escape it, whether it is our mortgage or a car or something catastrophic happened in our family that leads us into, or maybe we just made a bad choice. And we end up with that word debt. And I know that we have paid off several debts. And each time we have this little celebration in the family room, oh, the freedom it feels. And Dave, you sitting at our controls, I know everybody listens to you, wake us up every morning, every weekday morning. We're so grateful for your input here on Arizona Shine. But you were sharing a story that you're about to pay off a debt, and the joy was all over your face.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Out of my first marriage, I ended up with several $1,000 worth of debt via credit card, and was just making a minimum payment. So, of course, the interest rates are eating that payment up immediately. Well, I eventually got to the point where I paid off my car and thought, well, you know, what can I do with that extra money? I mean, it was over $300 a month that I was spending on a car payment. And I started taking it and doling it out over, you know, I had several credit cards. So I just took, you know, my lowest balances, started paying those off first. And then as I went to the next ones, I not only took that car payment, but the payments I would have made on the other credit cards and rolling it over.
Wow.
And listening to Stephen and Annette, I've also gone to the point where every paycheck I take out money, put it in savings. I also have envelopes for vet visits, eyeglasses, car service, and I put money in those each month. And when it comes time that I have to have something done, I have the cash to do it. I went from feeling like I was sinking in quicksand and everything was covering me up to the joy and freedom of knowing that, wow, yeah, this can be done, because I didn't want to use a debt company. I wanted to pay it off myself.
Good for you.
You know, Rod, when I'm looking at Dave, there's this, I wish we had a video camera in here, because there's joy all over his face. I think he's elevating off of the floor just a little bit.
A little sparkle in his
eye. Stephen and Annette, thank you so much for bringing these tips to us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, again, we've got a link up to Stephen and Annette's blog site, some of the websites that they've mentioned. Let you know how you can get a copy of your own book here at arizonashine.org under the Portraits tab. Let's talk debt.
I don't think we need to say any more. What Dave so eloquently and enthusiastically spoke is exactly what needs to happen. Well, first, I mean, the only thing he left out was he didn't really say, but he implied it. I stopped using the credit cards.
Yeah.
And that is really a step of faith. Mm. Okay. And it comes from the underlying assumption that God is going to provide if I have a need. And if I don't make that assumption, then what I'm going to say is, God, you haven't provided. I need to go to the bank, and the bank is going to provide. And I think that's kind of a slap in God's face.
But just to review some of the steps that he talked about in his story, in story form, the first thing to do is to sit down and make a list of all the people that you owe money to. Mm. And rather than looking at the interest rates, look at the balances.
Okay.
And deal with the one that is the smallest balance, because usually that can be paid off in the first 3 months. Mm. And the success of that will just start the ball rolling. And it will be so exciting to just take what you paid on that and then go to the next one. And Dave did that.
And then once you get the ball rolling, another just principle that we use when we help people get out of debt is you take and generate as much excess income as you can. So if you have things to sell, have a garage sale, sell things on Craigslist, sell things on eBay, get rid of the things you don't need and take all that cash, build an emergency fund with it, with part of it, and the rest of it put on the smallest debt. You will get so hyper excited about paying stuff off. We had one guy we were coaching, and he got so excited when he got a bonus. He put all of it on the debt. He didn't put any into his emergency savings fund. We called it intoxication, debt repayment intoxication. You know, so we have to be careful and have a plan. In our book, in the savings chapter, we talk about having a plan for windfalls. Mm. And this is that excess money that comes in either from overtime, gifts, unexpected sources, tax refunds. And it's always helpful to have a plan before the money comes in. So we set up a percentage plan for us where it was we were going to give an additional 10%. We were going to put an additional amount on our house. And this is how we accelerated the payments on our house. We put a bunch of it into building our emergency fund, which would keep us from having to borrow if there was ever an emergency. And last little bit, we took a percentage, like 10 or 20%, and we played with it. We figured we could stay the course on something that was kind of sacrificial if we knew we were going to have some fun with some of it.
But I think, too, today we also need to address the issues of unemployment is so high, yes. The rate, and people are unemployed, they're underemployed. What do you do if you are drowning financially and there is no income? Yeah. We recently talked to somebody at Money Management International, and they said we have people coming in here that don't have incomes, so mm-hmm. we can't negotiate for them. So what we would say at that point is look around, like Steve said, at everything you've got. And start letting things go. You've got to cut things. You have to really think about what is a necessity to survive. Can you cut cable television? Can you cut bottled water? Can you cut, I don't know. You have to look at where you're spending money, coffee drinks every morning. What can you eliminate? This is survival. Yeah. And this is war. And you've got to fight the war. And you can fight that war and succeed.
Oh, love the encouragement. You know, we're making a difference here on Portrait Snapshots of Life, Hope, and Faith. Roger, the joy that's in this room is what is surprising me the most. Because I admit, going into this program and knowing that we're going to be talking about budgeting and money and financing and, you know, you just think, wow. But there's joy in managing God's money and bringing honor and glory through what he has provided to us, even if we're in a desperate situation. And, yeah, thank you for the joy that you're bringing. Annette and Steve Economides. Their book is linked up on ArizonaShine.org under the Portraits tab. It's called America's Cheapest Family Gets You Right on the Money. And we have a couple to give away up on Facebook if you'll share your current favorite tip for stretching a buck. Now, when we come back, Annette is going to lead us in a conversation about something very near and dear to my heart, which is my closet and the clothing that are inside it. This is Portraits, Snapshots of Life, Hope, and Faith. I'm Sally.
I'm Roger.
And we'll be back in just a moment.
Real people with real stories right here in Arizona. Thanks for listening to Portraits on Arizona Shine.
We're Roger and Sally Barton. So thrilled to spend this Saturday morning with you, encouraging you because we're learning to live better, spend less, and cash in on our dreams. Yeah, we're talking about our finances.
We are. And Sally, this has been fascinating.
With a smile on our face.
With a smile on our face. That's right. Talking through budgeting, through debt, and how to save money in every single area of our lives. Yeah. I think it's been a great program.
Yeah, and the surprise is the joy that is filling this studio. And now we're going to talk about a subject very near and dear to my heart. That's our clothing. And how does that fit in with our budgeting? How can we look better and still spend less? With our guests in the studio, Annette and Steve Economides. Yeah, people we've known for many, many years. And now the nation and literally the world knows because they have made an entire lifestyle out of becoming America's cheapest family.
Well, talking about clothes is one of the funnest things for me, too, uh-huh. because I love clothes and I love pretty things. And, you know, you might be surprised again about where I'm going to start.
Yeah.
But the first place I'm going to start is to inventory your closet.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Because we are not in the days of Little House on the Prairie anymore where there's one dress for every day and one dress for Sunday. We could literally live off of our closets for a year painlessly without, of course, the exception of undergarments. Okay? So what I want to say is you might be surprised. I had a missionary friend, dear friend, and she was moving, and she wanted me to come over and look at her closet. Well, we pulled everything out, and I rearranged some of her outfits. She looked at her bed and said, I never thought about doing those things. This could be a really fun girls' night, okay? Seriously, have somebody else come over, a new set of eyes, and look at what you have and reorganize it.
Hey, Roger, you want to come over and do that?
I was going to ask you the same thing. Does that sound like fun? We could do that with our fishing gear, maybe.
Okay, seriously, you need to know what colors look good on you. You know, the color draping, the color wheel, whatever you want to call it. But you're not going to find orange or yellow or brown in my closet because I'm a winter. Okay, but I have a dear friend who's a redhead with freckles. She looks great in those colors, okay? So you need to know what colors look good on you because you're going to feel the best in those colors. And you need to get rid of the ones that don't. You also need to know what styles flatter you the most. Just because it is the latest latest, greatest cutting style on the rack does not mean that's going to look good on you. So don't get sucked into that, not for 1 minute. You need, once again, maybe an extra set of eyes to look at what's going to flatter your figure the most. So starting with those basics, then from there, you need to have a hierarchy, what I call a hierarchy of stores. So in other words, we have, for example, thrift stores in our area, Savers and Goodwill, for example, where I know I can get jeans and knit tops. Occasionally, I can find a pretty dress or a nice purse. But then we also have a lot of consignment stores in the Phoenix area. And those consignment stores, wow, that's where you can get Sunday dresses and a gown or a dress for a party. You can also get those everyday things, but I still like to get dressed up for Sunday. To me, I think it comes from the days of being home with the kids all the time and needing one day where I could get dressed up.
Okay, now, we aren't just talking theory here.
Okay.
Our youngest daughter just got married, and I needed to wear a tux, and Annette needed to have a mother of the bride dress. Now, she searched for months. She knew what she was looking for, but didn't know. And she set aside some cash for it. She was going to spend up to $150. She bought this beautiful purple
three-piece. Okay, it was a three-piece, a jacket, you know, a crinkly top and a layered skirt. And I bought it at Dillard's, I believe, for like $85. I was thrilled. Well, then, like 2 months later, Goodwill had their first ever bridal show, okay, in the Phoenix area, and I found the exact same dress. At Goodwill. It was a royal purple. Okay, it's one of my colors. It was beautiful.
You can see this dress on our Facebook page.
Which we will link to.
Yeah,
on
really. Okay, it was $25 at the Goodwill bridal show. So I then took my other dress back because it still had the tags on it. It was still within, you know, the 90 days, and I took that back. And so that was my mother of the bride dress. It was exactly what I wanted, and it was $25.
Wow.
And I wore a tux that we bought about 9 years ago for $20 at a consignment shop. It's an after six tux, and we picked up a bow tie and a cummerbund to match the wedding colors. But the point is,
actually, the bow tie was at Goodwill for 99 cents. the cummerbund was at Goodwill for 99 cents, and the bow tie we bought online for $6.
Amazing.
Now, here's the point of all this: you can't brag about paying retail.
I just have never heard it. I paid full price for this. No, it's so much. So bragging rights go with getting the deals, but it saves us so much money. We couldn't have rented a tux for $20.
That's right.
It just wouldn't happen. So it allows us to do much more with much less money.
The other thing I was going to say is, we've been married 32 years, so I've been cleaning out my kitchen cupboards of things that I don't need anymore, taking them to a consignment store. I have $100 worth of credit at the consignment store. Well, this one particular one in the Phoenix area has a $2 sale twice a year in February and September. So that's when I choose to use my credit. And do you know how many outfits? I got this two-piece turquoise outfit. It was a lined jacket and skirt for $2 at the $2 sale.
You know, I think you could tell that the enthusiasm here in the studio is going beyond the time that we have. We're talking with America's Cheapest Family, Annette and Steve Economides. Yeah, they know where it's at. They know how to save money and enjoy life at the same time. We have all the links up on ArizonaShine.org under that Portraits tab where you can join in the joy of saving money. Yeah, like we've been doing right here. Join in the Facebook conversation. Yeah, Arizona Shine's Facebook page. Share your current favorite tip for stretching a buck. And we have a couple of these books to give away. Our thanks to Steve and Annette for spending this time with us, encouraging us. We haven't laughed this hard in, well, I think since last Saturday. Thank you, Nancy Smerdel, for producing this program, and Dave Schreiber at the controls. We can't do it without either one of you either. And my husband, Roger, what joy to spend Saturday morning with you and just enjoying good conversation. Let's do it again next Saturday on Portraits, Snapshots of Life, Hope, and Faith.
You've been listening to Portraits with Roger and Sally Barton. To learn more about the guests you heard today or to contact Roger and Sally, click on Portraits at ArizonaShine.org.